everyone to our town council meeting, our regular meeting for June 18th. Welcome everybody to our regular town council meeting. It is Wednesday, June 18th at 6:30 p.m. We are at Lot 2, Top of Valley Drive, and also on Zoom. We'll do a quick roll call, and then we'll open the meeting with open public comment.
So here at the town building, there's Jasmine Duncan, Tori Hill, Robert O'Brien, Pamela Gibson, Dorje Honer, Colleen Thompson, Egmont Honer, Mike Carlisle, Baleen Robb, Von Drake, and Norman and Peggy Llewellyn. No new ones. And on Zoom, there's Harry Holland, Bob Lippman, Pam Hackley, and Ryan Anderson.
Thank you. Is there any open public comment tonight?
I have one.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, as Ron reminded us in an article today, County Castle Valley is 40 years old today.
Woo!
Was incorporated 40 years ago. Pretty cool, huh? That was it. Thank you.
Bob, what
about the town?
As a town.
It was developed earlier. Yeah.
It was incorporated 40 years ago. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I had a comment on the latest draft of the general survey, and one of the questions, would that be appropriate now, or will that be addressed later this evening?
Well, this is kind of a review for the council tonight with the survey. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay, thank you. Regarding question G2 on desires for improved cell service, I would question that as worded being inappropriate and misleading, because we already have excellent cell calling service through Emory Telecom's fiber optic system with in-house modems. There's no need to raise the specter of cell towers in Castle Valley. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Any other open public comments? Seeing none, I will move into item 2, approval of the minutes from our public hearing, our municipal building authority special meeting, and our regular town council meeting for May 16, 2025.
I move we approve the minutes.
I would second that.
Further discussion?
Hang on just a second. I did find one thing, but it was just a portion.
Yes.
$520,000 includes the structure itself and our portion, and portion has a space in between the T and the I.
Yeah.
Okay.
And other than that, then, yes, I second that.
And it seemed very complete in terms of reflecting the discussion.
It was very firm.
Yes, and excellent minutes, John. Yeah. That was a
tough job.
More than a mouthful, for sure.
All in favor, I'm doing a roll of vote. Harry Holland?
Aye.
Tori Hill?
Aye.
Cameron Gibson?
Aye.
Robert Burton?
Aye.
And aye. Moving to item 3, executive report. I don't see John Gruzier, so Obi, do you have anything from...
Only to say, I think, and I can't remember the date, but sometime in the middle of July, we're going to meet with Cash, and who's the new Mark Stilson, so kind of the director of the Southeast area for water rights. And I think Janae is going to be at that meeting, who helped write the report. So it should be an interesting meeting. We'll ask lots of questions about, you know, are we ready to apply for the kind of closing the watershed to future appropriations or not. Anyway, it should be very interesting.
Hi, John. You jumped on right in time for your report. Welcome.
Wow. We're 4 minutes in.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't catch all of what Opie was saying, but I don't want to duplicate it. There's a lot going on, or at least scheduled. I'm meeting with Cash next week to just discuss operational things at the town building. Again, that's just he and I. And then next month, I think we're going to have a larger meeting with Janae and Cash to discuss the water budget study, get any questions we need answered, and to kind of determine what the implications are for original water rights policy in Castle Valley. And then, of course, at the MOT meeting the next day is, I guess, the big official release of the water budget study. Almost everybody there will have already seen it and commented on it. But I guess that's kind of a combination of release date and Janae's retirement. So no doubt a big event. I don't think I have much else to report besides that.
Is that study going to get peer reviewed?
Excuse me?
Is the water budget study going to get a peer review?
Well, not from us. It's getting one within UGS right now. Okay. I mean, essentially, the study was released in draft form to you know, key people, including the town, for comment. And the comment period, I guess they extended the Division of Water Rights comment period 2 weeks, which would be ending this week. And then it's going to go through an extensive review process within UGS before the final release. But there's nothing that else that we're going to do, or more importantly, need to pay for.
Good. Good answer.
Thank you, John. Any other questions for John? Okay, road department report. Any questions for Gorge?
Yeah. I've been very happy to see that we're finally digging a trench there in front of, in the ditch, in front of, well, between Buchanan and Schaefer, where we've gotten all those floods.
Yeah.
It's a ditch now. It's deeper. It still looks like at least and where the road starts to come up, that could be, that's where it kind of overflows a lot.
Yeah.
Could it be a little deeper?
Yes, that project is not done. The reason that it is so shallow at this point in time is I haven't called Blue Stakes yet, but it's planned to call Blue Stakes so that we can, and I might actually have to talk with the utility companies because that is about the level that I imagine most of the utilities are at.
The bottom of the ditch.
Well, I mean, classically, that area has been full of dirt, so they thought it was 4 feet deep, and now it's no longer 4 feet deep. So that might be a little bit of a larger process, but that is planned and in the works. And those ditches especially are going to be pretty much as large as they can be. Probably the same case between Buchanan and Pace, and then a few other sections of that as well.
That's good, good. And then the other question was, I also noticed those huge boulders that y'all put on top of the culvert around Schaefer.
Yes.
Because we lost so much land there. And then you mentioned something about you're going to put more gravel because all that.
Yes. We may actually do a large gravel deposit right there. I'm kind of putting together the plans for exactly how we're going to make that more robust for the potential month or two of traffic that's going to be going down.
Yeah.
So there may be a considerable amount of gravel that shows up on Schaefer. The reason behind that is because I do want to make it solid enough that hopefully it can handle a lot more traffic without deteriorating quickly.
Yeah. Or just becoming powder.
There's a section that's just powder.
It's just powder.
Yes, there will be more gravel on that, and we'll be paying special attention to it as there's traffic going over it to make sure that it gets maintained in a proper fashion.
Okay. And do we have a rough idea of when that's going to happen? I mean, as far as when we're going to have to close
the
day.
Not before August, probably.
Not before August.
Not before August. And I've been holding off on a lot of the big projects just to stay safe with the budget.
Right, right.
Okay. As soon as the new fiscal year hits, we'll probably be tackling all of those.
Thank you.
Yes, I'll thank you about that, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Planning and Land Use Commission. Any questions about that? I mean, we're in town stuff. We're pretty much our only business item tonight, so.
Yeah, I'll just stay fun for the
rest. Pamela, anything from Utah Renewable Communities?
I saw an email.
Sure. Rocky Mountain Power finally submitted the final part of the of our plan, and so it's before the Public Service Commission. There's a bugaboo because Rocky Mountain Power now is trying to change the game because they're out of money and they don't want to pay for anything, and they want everybody else to pay for something that. But we'll see what. The comments will be determined. They submit their comments, so that's before the Public Service Commission. They want to pay. They want participants to pay for their startup costs, and that was never part of the deal. So we will. The agency will submit comments in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So moving forward.
Okay.
Chief Drake, do you have anything from the fire district?
We have two openings on the board of directors for the fire district, and we had two applicants. We had Maggie, I'm not sure how you pronounce the last name.
Pecan.
What is it?
Pecan, only it's got spelled like pecan.
Okay. No,
P-E-I-C-O-N.
K-O-N. K-O-N, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Michael Lakely. And I guess we're still, I think everything is set for the 4th of July, the pancake breakfast. And I just moved the fire danger sign up to extreme today, so we're right in the middle of our fire season.
It's supposed to be 104 tomorrow.
Yeah.
No way.
That's cool.
Yeah. Fire winter warning galore.
Thank you. Colleen, do you have any IT reports this
month? Webinars this morning, updating on the website, content management system, and it was a big job. I'm almost done rewriting on the website, the land use and construction page, which is under the administration tab. So that's coming together pretty nicely. It's almost done.
Do we have any correspondence? Administrative matters and procedures. Do we have any town letters? We might. We just want to jump right in. You want to just talk about BLM land sales?
Oh, I think it's worth everybody looking at the map. Where was that map?
I mean, everybody's seen it.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. You might want to call your senators.
Yeah, I've just been trying to get more information about how, you know, I mean, I've heard conflicting information about how that would even happen.
I think the majority of our country
would have to be nominated by the local government, and then there's, you know, let's say grazing land would be exempt except until on the map. So I need more information before we can really consolidate them.
And I'm not sure there's more information. I mean, I did go to see Lee's, had a group of his folks down, and I think they thought that we were going to talk about all kinds of issues with Lee, but then the word had gone out that this plan to sell off land, so everybody there was armed with information that they could get about the plan. There isn't much information.
Okay. Harry, you gotta jump in there, everybody.
Yeah. So I think what I was thinking about this, you know, we could update our resolution that we we did a couple of months ago to oppose that first public lands bill that they put in there, and then they stripped it out. We could write a letter too. There's apparently the Montana delegation is actually somewhat opposed to this provision that Lee's putting in there. It might be worth, you know, showing that somebody from Utah actually has an opposition to this kind of plan. So there's those guys in Montana, including Brian Zinke, which is really kind of surprising, the former Secretary of Agriculture. So, you know, if we wanted to do a resolution, we could update that, and then we could write a letter and just send it to maybe the Montana guys. There's a rep in New Mexico that's really active on this, pushing back against the Lee's inclusion. You know, it might be worth showing some support to him too. And you know, I've just been wondering if we, you know, maybe we could do like a quick MailChimp or a SurveyMonkey survey of the town folks. You know, if we could get say 100 responses and see what people think about. Send that map that Tori has got, and just show people kind of what's at stake. You know, if we had 100 people who were opposed to it and 20 who were in favor of it, it might give us some direction. And we could put together a SurveyMonkey survey pretty quick.
Okay, are you able to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that a few times.
Yeah,
and it could just...
That idea.
Yeah. We could, you know, give them a little bit of background and then just ask them some questions.
That would help add to any letters we wrote, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Show what kind of response we got from our own community.
Exactly, yeah.
Not just the people at the
table. And Harry, it's interesting, Harry. Zinke stopped it in the House. And secondly, Montana's not included in this bill.
Exactly.
So it's just ridiculous. So yeah, I think all of those ideas sound good.
Okay.
Do you want me to work on the survey questions and have them ready for the next meeting, or do it sooner than that?
Yeah, let's get the survey out before the next meeting,
so that we
can have something to base our discussion for a letter or a resolution on, or to add to that discussion.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to draft that letter so that we'd have something to look at.
Okay.
I got all the information I could on it, but I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, the information, like you said, seemed limited.
It is limited. I think, and his age knew nothing about it. They were like, and they cited some little piece of land that BYU could use out of Provo, but it's one of these one-off things.
Huh.
Not the stuff that I think is terrible, that, you know, the state will get land, and we'll have more under-canvas type stuff in the valley.
Right.
Could be very valuable to them.
But it could be affordable lodging.
Yeah, but of course it only says housing in the bill.
Well, one other thing I saw in an article was that somehow the guy who's in charge of selling the land is going to have to reach out to the local community, you know, to see if the land is buildable. So as it sits right now, our subdivision ordinance pretty much says it is.
So maybe that's something we need to work on too, our subdivision ordinance for that particular parcel.
Well, yeah.
Are my hands tied? The state has told us what we can do and what we can't do, and I thought that's the reason why they made us.
Yeah, well, they'll just make a new city register.
Yeah.
We made it as restrictive as we could, right?
Well, we carried over what we already had it set up. It's been set at 15 acre minimum for however many years since they developed 85-3. 85. Which
well,
clearly isn't like multi-family housing or anything.
But, well, yeah, but it, a lot of that land, I mean, it's like all, like most of Round Mountain and all of behind it. I mean, it's like...
Oh, even the cliff side.
Yeah, the cliff side. And yeah. On that side, no water's over there. I mean, it's just...
Well, the water is the biggest thing we've got to
yeah.
show. But that would make it, you know, like, especially when you're not, you're looking at things and don't even know what you're looking at. I don't know. No one's building on these cliff sides.
Yeah.
So, okay, Obi is drafting a letter, Harry's drafting a survey. We'll get that out as soon as we can. Anything else? Okay. As a reminder, our property tax public hearing will be August 20th, 2025. And we need to just discuss our treasury report schedule, which will now be April, July, October, and January.
Tulsa and I were talking about that, and it's like every time I come to give the report, it's, you know, 2 weeks before the end of the quarter, which makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
This way we can get a report after the quarter's over, after the fiscal year is over, beginning of, you know, January. So we're just switching it. I think it'll make...
Okay.
Way more sense.
Okay. And also, I think Ron and Drake already covered this, but yeah, 4th of July, pancake breakfast and raffle. And roller skating.
And hopefully it won't be 104 degrees.
Yeah.
Hopefully not before noon. Okay. Anything else, Jocelyn, on administrative?
I don't think so.
Great. We'll move into new business. Item 6, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the general plan survey.
Printed copy is in there.
Yeah.
I also put up on here the one with the highlights, you know, but it doesn't show so good in the... Did they like the color copy better? I don't know.
Does anyone need me to pull it up on the screen?
I've got a question on section B, unless we're starting at the beginning.
Okay.
Should we start? Do we want to do it starting with A?
Well, why don't I just say, does anyone have any questions, issues with section A?
I only have a very minor one, and I don't care if it's accepted or not. On A3, it says, how old is each person in your household? And I would probably say, please list all ages, rather than just please list ages. I know it's clear in some ways because it says ages, but if you put all, it'll just remind them we want all the ages of all the people. But that's why I say... I'm fine with whatever the plus does on that. Just minor.
Anybody else on section A? How about section B?
Wait. The very beginning is highlighted in yellow about you can do this online and it says do not mail the survey if completed online.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the very end, it just says mail it in. Just maybe a repetition that, you know, you do it online, you don't mail it in.
Well, had we decided to put it online?
I think Pluck had kind of wondered that direction. I'm putting together kind of a draft survey form thing. We don't have to do it online, we can just do it with the in-paper ones. It's really not an issue. There were some complications with the... online survey functions that we were looking at that we could easily put together. SurveyMonkey might be a little different. I haven't worked with that yet. But there is also a question at the very end that's like, how important is anonymity in this to you? Because that would make it much, much easier to do online surveys if it was not anonymous. So that's the reason behind that question. But hope that answers your initial question.
Okay, Harry. Section B.
Section B about the, y'all talk about, and it's a really awesome survey, by the way.
Yes.
Thanks for doing all the work. So you talk about the water management plan, pages 2 to 5. If we're, you know, the majority, I guess, are going to receive a paper copy. Is that, do you think that's right, even if we do online as well?
Everyone will receive a paper copy.
Okay. I was thinking, you know, if we're talking about 4 pages in the water management plan, maybe it'd be worth printing that and including it in the mailing. You know, it'd be 2 extra pages. No.
Bigger envelope, more stamps.
The posted, a rough guesstimate of the postage that we're looking at for a very trend down survey is about $900 in postage.
Okay. All right, yeah. Well, I just thought.
But having the reference of where to find it for people that want to look at it and help answer their questions, I thought that was great.
And I'm not.
Yeah, that is good.
I'm not sure if this is the case on your version, but we were planning on putting a shortened URL because some of them had this really, really long URL that you'd have to type in, and there's a much simpler one that will actually be on the survey.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it says has a better URL. Yeah, I see that. All right, that's all I had on B.
Okay, anybody else on B?
Yes, let's see if I can get us there, though. Well, we're at the bottom of the page. They have a section that starts many of the town's lots. If you then go over to the next page, it starts with facilities that supply.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably, rather than starting the very next sentence, the other option, I'd say a second option, and the reason is the sentence below it says another option. So it sounds like when you say the other option,
that's
it sounds awesome. Like you're done. So I'd probably put a second option and then have the
mm-hmm.
next sentence start with another option.
Are you doing getting all this, Jamie?
Yes, I am.
I'm here.
You know, and I might even just remove that sentence that's split to the next page, just for easy reading, you know. So you go through several options for providing water to those lots, period, next page. One option.
As long as we don't give us another page.
Right, I was
going to
say the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
no,
that's
well, you can also
we'll
put
that
down your spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like you have a little bit of space on the bottom anyway.
Right, any other B section?
Well,
I've got a...
This is talking about the options. Sorry. Maybe it's too difficult, but and maybe the answer I didn't go and find it exactly, but the pros and cons, I mean, it's making a choice. Are there other, is it like the cost of it or what it would involve? I don't know. I was thinking pros and cons, or if there's anything that could be in there. Is there any pro or con? Are they all equally affordable?
For the potable water versus non-potable water?
Well, it was more the options.
But they're not choosing the options in the survey here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so language that we used a lot of was continuing to research or exploring or something of that nature, where it's not necessarily like we're going to be implementing this type of policy. It's more like we're looking into it, we'll see if it's worth it, and is this the direction you want the town to go.
Yeah.
Well, I would just add that Corey Shurtleff attended several of our meetings, and he really stressed that the survey, it's not really appropriate, say, for each of those options to ask people to answer yes or no on those, because you don't know the details.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want to put out the bigger picture of, do you think this is a problem and we need to resolve it? And if you get yes to that, then it's up to the Planning Commission to, you know, work out the details of
the
which of these options to present to the public at that point.
Okay.
So these are kind of just giving examples.
Yeah, but for specifically for non-potable versus potable, there's definitely going to be some price differences and logistical differences and like it's a whole bunch of stuff. It's just kind of.
And I have a very slight comment on wording again, not giantly important. On B5, do you support the town to continue researching? Sounds awkward to me. So I might say, do you support the town continuing research on options?
Support the town continuing
research on
options. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Harry, sorry, you had another
question. I've got another question on B5. I just forgot. I wonder if it's worth telling people that, you know, the town providing water is an important step in securing our water rights, because the way the question and the introduction of the question, it just makes it sound like the town would just be providing water, you know, out of the goodness of our heart and maybe charging for it. So I wonder if we should add in, you know, if the town does actually provide water, it helps us secure our water rights.
Well,
I wonder if it'd be worth putting some background on that.
I'm not sure. Most of the language that you're seeing here, sorry for just kind of putting in here, trying to give the background on it. Most of this language, I believe, came from the water committee or someone along those lines, kind of stating these are the questions that we want to ask, and this is kind of the limit of what we want to ask. So most of it's almost verbatim. I don't think we changed too much.
Right.
I mean, there might be
use
for it, but we were essentially just going with what the water committee thought was a good idea for it.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm not sure people understand that if the town provided water, that it would be a benefit beyond just, you know, providing water. That it would actually help us close the aquifer.
The problem is that we don't know what the benefit of that really is yet. Like, we don't fully understand what that would really do for us and our water rights.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're more like exploring what it could do for us and our water rights. It's not set in stone that it would do anything. Like,
and it could be construed as leading.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a leading question. You're right. Okay.
Before we leave B5, can I just do a little everything's bolded except for B5?
I think that's been corrected.
Okay.
Yeah. But thank you. Anything like that you see, bring it up, because every eye on it needs to be.
Okay, are we ready to move to section C?
I did hire somebody. I could only hire her for 6 days. So there's nobody out there to hire. Basically, you're going to have to deal with your weeds or find somebody come and mow them or something. But that's not the question. I would like to know how many people out there are as irritated as I am with their neighbor's weeds. Need to have some kind of an ordinance that says you have to mow before it goes to seed. Amen. You have to deal with it, because it's not just me, it's the fire department, it's the road department, it's the flooding issues that come from the tumbleweeds that are blowing everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse and worse. You go into the upper above Pope, maybe it's not even, maybe including Pope. And the tumble mustard on some of those fields that is so thick now because nobody pulled the damn weeds. So I would like a question on weeds on that survey.
I liked what you said at the very beginning of your statement. Do you remember how you phrased?
Is anybody else irritated by their neighbor's weeds?
Okay, we can work from that.
I mean, you know, there's a recording. You can take it from the recording. I don't know.
I like the way you said.
The weeds mostly come when the land gets disturbed.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. So, for example, that one lot, where is it on the coast? I mean, it was
disturbed.
Holy Earth. It's all tumbleweed.
Yeah.
Right. It got flooded bad.
Isn't that already in the ordinance that land disturbances are...
It is covered under ordinances, but yeah.
If you're doing your own earthwork and it's above a certain amount, then we require revegetation, or it's not getting covered with something else.
Mm-hmm. But no weed pulling.
Not necessarily weed pulling.
Well, the vegetation is a weed, and a weed is covered. The purpose of a weed is to hold soil. The earth wants to be covered.
Right.
It doesn't want to be bare. That's what weeds are for. It's just that they're also a fire hazard.
Well, and there are some weeds that choke out grasses.
Yeah.
So
that's what happened to me. Is three of my neighbors never mow, and I mow, and I mow, and I mow, and I mow, and then the tumble. I have more tumbleweeds than my neighbors because they never mow. So,
mowing is not the answer to getting rid of tumbleweeds.
No.
It just they keep coming back. My neighbor mows, I've never mowed. I go out there and I pull every single weed, and it was really bad in the first 2 years, and the third year wasn't so bad, and then it's easy, but it does take some...
It takes some time.
How many people do that?
Yeah, you can't make them. I mean, or unless you have some kind of...
But you mow and it works.
Did you read D4? This is part of the problem. The median age of residents...
No, I know. I know. I'm not reporting to be as long as I can. And I'm almost done, but, you know.
But that is part of what we're facing.
Mm-hmm. No, I
don't. And there aren't people to hire.
But if you mow at the right time, at least you're knocking them down.
Yeah.
And they're not blowing around. The seed is on that lot, and then you'll mow it again. I mean, if you're not out there pulling them, then you need to deal with them. They can't get 5 feet tall and then blow all over the town.
Yeah.
Well, and also on the road shoulders, just don't drive down the middle. If there's a crop of tumbleweeds at the side, drive into them and mow them.
Well, that works if there's not rocks on the side.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Because with that...
Sounds like you've got a question.
I have a question on there.
Yeah.
Please put a question on there.
About do you think that's a better fit in D or with the fire section? It's kind of a visual thing for community life, but it is a...
Well, I just said that in D because it's agricultural, and I'm much more irritated at my neighbor's weeds than I am at their livestock. But their livestock create weeds.
Yes, not mine.
Well, no, not yours. Yours eat them. I know, I'm out there pulling, and they come to the defense, and they're like, ah!
Throw me a few of those.
And then I did twice talked about. Like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Breaking down the fence.
Sparky, So did we decide where to put that?
I think D is a good place for it.
D is fine with me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else on D? Brian, you have your hand up?
Well, yes, I do. Thank you, Mayor. I'm just wondering if, as Baylene suggested, if Section F doesn't take care of some of the issues that are consistent on my yard with what Tori has brought up as well. In that there's information there in the lead-in on F1 about the properties of the wildfire with dead tumbleweeds and other weeds, and also that Section C of F1 says, would you be willing to hire people to clear vegetation? It gets to that issue that Tori's bringing up. It does not go with the neighbor-specific stuff, but I was hoping that we were dealing with it in that section. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Well, but it, the question is, if the service was available, it's not.
Well, it's also not really getting to the point of D from the city of Columbus.
Right.
But do you care?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we move into Section E?
On E5, and Saline or Dorje remind me, I thought I know the SUC talked about this, but I can't remember if they decided the last sentence in E5. Do you favor raising the town's portion of property taxes? Otherwise, people might think their entire property tax bill is getting raised instead of just our 9.2% portion. I know we talked about it, but I can't remember what the fuck decided.
I don't think we made a decision.
I don't recall a decision.
I think that is a good point. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But would it be the town's tax rate?
No.
I said or the town
portion.
The town's
tax rate. People that it's only that little bit that's getting raised,
yep.
Not the whole thing.
Yeah. The town's portion of
okay, any other E suggestions? And then Section F. Anything you see needing that? How about G? And Bob Whitman suggested G2, that adult service was somehow covered by Wi-Fi, and it isn't.
Well, it does provide phone service, but what does the town have to do with it? We're getting cell service. I mean, that's a just going and begging the telephone company.
This was brought up by a resident that requested we ask this on the survey because they felt kind of like Tori feels about weeds and want to know if other people feel the same way.
The same way.
That's what this is about.
And whereas as a treasurer, E5, we only raise taxes as needed since I've been sitting here for 17 years.
So hardly ever touched.
And that's twice now that, I mean, this will be the second time.
Yep.
And yeah, somebody obviously wants to ask that question, and even though I think it's not necessary, you know,
we still ask it.
You're going to still
ask it. Well, I want to get the feeling from it.
Yeah.
Well, that's
are you talking about E5? Yeah.
Well, you know, in the we won't have the results of the survey back before this, you know, your public hearing in August, so I don't know whether...
But that's what public hearings are for, too,
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You think maybe that question doesn't even need to be in there?
Well, it might be good to have it there, because then we'll see only a handful of people come to the public hearing,
Yeah.
And so this will give us a broader idea of what the town thinks. And, I mean, we can only do what we can do.
Well, right. When do you make that decision? You're having the public hearing.
In August.
You have to make the decision in August.
Yeah.
So you really won't have the results.
If we want to adopt our budget.
But you mean we might.
I'd just like to point out that I think this question is usually on the survey, like past surveys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also monitoring any changes in the town's attitude
about that.
Right. So that could be useful, whether or not it has an immediate effect on August.
Well, and if a cell tower company wanted to come in here, maybe having that data from our survey might be a good thing, since we won't do the survey again for another 5 or 10 years.
Well, regarding the cell phone coverage, Jeff Whitney brought up at one of our meetings that the county has this kind of unused tower that's back up in the Love Valleys or something.
Kind of. I believe it's actually owned by the Sheriff's Department. We haven't confirmed yet whether or not we can use it, but that's part of the question.
You know, if it just as a possible solution, I mean, that might be something
to track down
that, you know, somebody could try to see if they could work out a deal. So there might be other options. So. And I will unbold that question there.
Okay.
Only the numbers.
Yeah, that sounds good. Anything on section H?
H and I.
Sorry, Harry, you gotta unmute yourself.
Oh, sorry.
There we go. Yeah, I've got a couple of questions about H. Could we add, and this might not be the appropriate place for it, but as far as capital improvements go, you know, we're looking at trying to raise money for a monitoring well on Schaefer Lane. That's one of the things I was thinking about. And then having a gauging station up on Castle Creek is another objective of the water plan. So would those be appropriate to add here? Or is it just, are they actually capital improvements, or is that a different category?
I'm not really sure about that. I mean, the gauging station on Castle Creek isn't even within our municipal boundary, for one thing.
Yeah, that's probably not one. But the Schaefer Lane monitoring well, I wonder if that could be added to this section.
Well, was there a water section? Because
there is a water section A.
A, B, water section B.
So that might be a place to say, you know, do you support putting more money into our water infrastructure?
I'm wondering if anybody would know what that was.
Why
would we need it? Yeah.
That whole section, I think, was designed to be as kind of generic as possible. So I do like the language, like, personally, I like the language of, like, more money for water stuff, because that's really not covered in there, and we're kind of moving towards that. But I am kind of loath to get into extreme specifics of, like, these are the projects that we're asking about your permission on.
Okay. It's really hard to hear y'all on the microphone, but I think I got what you said.
Okay.
Okay, this is failing. Wasn't sure if it would be a formatting thing or something you guys need to decide. But G and H are both so short and so related, I recommend merging them and calling it
capital improvements in infrastructure or something. And that way, Section I would become Section H, because the numbering is so unfortunate. If you have I-1 or I-2, when people are writing their essay answers on the back, they're supposed to number it, and it looks like 11 and 12. And Ryan knows from when we tried to input all the data for the last survey, it's already hard enough to match up people's essay with the question they're talking
about. That makes sense to you, because they're both very close to one another anyway.
Yeah. And they're short.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would give us a little bit more space for some of the other questions.
Oh, there we go.
And then, right, Section I. I have one thing in I, too, where we're asking, I don't know, it's like when you ask a question that says which issues, we're telling you what the issues are, whether you thought they were issues or not. You know what I mean?
I don't
like
the problem with it.
Here's the issues.
But I kind of disagree, because it says these are the issues that the town is currently dealing with. Do you think that we should, what's the priority? Should the town deprioritize?
I do. It says, which issues do you believe the town should have a high priority?
Okay, sorry.
So we're assuming that these are all issues right away. And I don't know, we're always throwing in, you know, we're going to regulate agriculture. Well, we live in rural agricultural, residential zoning. So why aren't we saying residential regulation? Don't we need more of those too?
Mm.
Come on.
Well, we have a question about that.
Yeah, well, why aren't we prioritizing that? Or when people say, you know, whether they feel like that's a high priority.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like we're leading people into what the issues might be that may or may not exist.
Well, that's always the hard part with the survey, to be not leading them.
Well, you're trying to get as much information as you can without leading.
So I think we strike agricultural regulations from that, because we already asked two very specific questions about how people feel about how agriculture impacts them in negative or positive ways, in D2 and D3.
Yeah, and instead put weeds.
Tell us how you really feel.
And tell us how.
Well, I also had a question on I-1, which now would become something else, but why do we put in this thing about the 5-acre minimum lot size and the single family dwelling per lot? I mean, isn't that part of the zoning? I mean, what are we asking here? Do you want to get rezoned? What are
that's
we doing?
That's probably kind of, do people still see that? Is that still what they value?
A lot of these questions get asked every time.
Yeah, but I guess I don't understand why.
The other reason for a lot of these questions is that they've just kind of rolled over from previous surveys.
Right.
So this one, I don't think we touched much.
Well, but in this question, you're asking, you know, I think it's a good gauge to find out how people are leaning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's just an ordinance that keeps us from splitting these lots.
Yep.
Ryan, I see your hand is up. But I don't see you, so I don't know if you just left it up or what.
No, I'm I have some information, and Dorje touched on this too. This list comes from history of what have been issues and what currently are issues. And we did talk about the sustainable agriculture to those points, and Corey was a part of that conversation as a resident. And so his information was valuable in maintaining that list and compiling that list so that it included those that had been historical information pieces and what are still current. Thank you. That was it.
In I-1? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
make sense to me to keep them. I feel terrible if he came back and said most people don't want to maintain the minimum lot size, but we should be probably figure what the trend is. Mm-hmm. Be interesting.
I guess there's some value in keeping some of the questions the same because we can see trends over years in studies.
Mm-hmm. That is kind of part of what we're doing here and why we do it every 5 years.
Mm-hmm. See where the trends are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We come up with new questions every time and it's statistically it's kind of... Mm-hmm.
Doesn't any fire method.
Right.
Would we have, I just have this practical question, if there came back that 52% of the population wants to change it from 5 acres and they want to have more than one single family dwelling per lot, that would require a zoning change.
Let me talk about something here first before we get too crazy in the weeds with that. The last time we did this, we're not even getting surveys back from every single person. You can't get less than 50% of the surveys, just people with surveys back, or maybe only 51% of the surveys come back, right? And then 52% of those 51% said, yes, we want to break down our lot sizes. You're still at less than half of the whole.
Just because it came through on a survey, it would take more than, to change something that integral to Castle Valley, we would have to have some kind of an election, some kind of a vote for that.
I wouldn't have to go to the county too.
It would be something then you would look into it and see what it would even look like. It doesn't mean that you just go out and do it and say, better change ordinance right away. Right. That's not what you do. Is it even feasible? Can we even maintain what we have now with the amount of residents we have now? What are, how many?
Well, and the septic issues and the water issues and everything else that goes along with that.
And this isn't a vote. This is a terrible thing to say, but if we came back and it said 52% of the citizens said we don't want a tax increase, that doesn't mean I'd have to vote that way.
Right.
That is, there'd be part of, what's the town actually need? Does it need this exit, et cetera? But it would be very important information to have.
Well, yeah.
The problem being is the state mandates that we do general plan surveys. It can help guide the government in the direction that the people want.
Yep.
So when we start asking questions that are guiding us, then we're all kind of obligated to fulfill those guidelines, except for that 49% that never returned their survey.
That's where you have to look at this and be a little more effective. Because you're not getting a full picture.
Right. But
do you know the source of a study that was done that said that we needed a 5 acre minimum per lot because of the septic tank issue?
Is that a binding it's outdated for one thing.
Yes.
Septic systems have changed quite a lot since then. And that wouldn't hold us up.
They've actually changed it to where you can't do what the leach fields like we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're totally different.
Yeah, which is great, because it's much safer.
Right.
Right? Like the newer people that are moving in, and now their systems are way safer than some of us who have to live.
Yeah.
We can ask the question, would you want to live here if the minimum lot size was less than 5 acres?
I'd say yes.
That might be a leading question.
It was 4.5.
What we want to know.
Okay.
And I think that's about it.
Yeah,
that's it.
The bottom thing, which got that led back to the top thing.
Right.
Besides,
Yeah, and the reason that doesn't change.
Maybe just because we have it online and all decided whether we're going to go with the online option or not.
Yeah,
maybe. But I do have a kind of an administrative question, is that how, kind of, where's the final decision making on, you know, kind of what all of this is going to cost? And does the Planning Commission just create those surveys that they want you've approved and we go with it, whatever it costs, or do we need to be making, you know, manipulations and, you know, things like save on postage? Maybe we don't send a blank sheet of paper. We've already sent an extra piece of paper for people to write on.
So you can send four pieces of paper in an envelope for one stamp. So
yeah,
anything
so
above that is
another
ounce.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When we send it, we also are sending a return envelope, and that four pages, that does fit. With five pages, I think it bumps over.
Well, they could just rip out a paper.
They could provide their own, because on the return envelope, then there's only one envelope involved, and so you know, it could absorb the cost of that piece of paper.
Do we have to send a return
envelope? Well, I don't know.
We have a ballot box here.
Yeah.
We could just have people.
Well, these are going to all property owners.
But
that's a lot of weight.
You know, and we've always, you know, provided the postage on the
for return
envelope.
And I don't think you should do that because you're wasting 75 cents every time somebody doesn't send it back.
Because we are giving them an option if we do that, to do it online, then we would be wasting that money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which complicates things more.
Yeah. The problem is if you don't give them stamps on the return envelope, you cut your return rate by a fantastic amount right there, because people won't spring for the stamps.
Yeah.
I think those people are going to send it in anyway.
Yeah. No, I read a report on this one.
Oh, I think
so petty.
Yeah. Hey, Harry. Do you think you could do a MailChimp survey to ask people if they plan to return their general plan survey?
Probably, yeah. I mean, we could do some kind of follow-up email just to remind people to send it back in.
Yeah. And, I mean, just another administrative thing. The price of postage is going to go up on July 13th. We're not going to have it ready to mail before then, but we could buy the postage.
But wait till July.
Because
of the fiscal year.
I did talk to Grand County, and you know, they do have a bulk mailing permit, and I asked about, you know, could we use it? And we'd have to take our, you know, letters in and run it through their machine. And the deputy, it was Jenna Beth I talked to, and she said, well, yeah, she thought that would work, but the meter rate's going to go up too, and after July 13th, it would be 74 cents for an ounce, and $1.03 for 2 ounces. We went over. But if we buy the stamps early, they're 73 cents a piece, and we save a few cents. And I don't know whether it might be a hassle to
take them in.
I'd be shuffling them back and forth, so I don't know. We don't really gain anything to use their metering.
Right.
If we can get the stamps cheaper.
Well, if you can just go ahead and get them in July
before.
I just want to thank the Planning Commission and everybody else who participated in creating the survey. Thanks for the time. It was a lot of time.
Well, then I have one more specific venture. So the Planning Commission will be looking at this again July 10th. It's our next meeting. If they see, you know, changes or think of other questions or anything that they might want to add after that,
what?
Can they do that without bringing it back to you?
Right. I thought this was like it.
So this is it. Okay, that's just what I want to know. So this is
I
it.
Hope so.
Formatting.
Well,
yeah.
Well, or okay. Pages.
Just
yeah.
In case it came up, you know.
Covering
your
bases.
Yeah. I just,
yeah.
You know, so we're not grappling with that issue then and there.
Okay. Does anyone that's here from the Planning Commission see the other questions you think you're going to need?
Well, no. I mean, Colleen has gone through it very early, too, and you asked a couple of those questions. I think it brought a couple of those issues up. So
they weren't that important. One thing, another question about anonymity. The whole problem we have with having to mail it physically is to maintain the anonymity.
Yeah.
But if there's probably not time to do a mail chip survey real quick and just say, hey people, do you care if it's anonymous? Then it's not. We could do the whole thing online because it's probably too short of the time
frame.
Okay. SurveyMonkey is anonymous. They have an anonymous way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and it's also, I've used it for HR a lot. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
HR, you have to be anonymous.
Right.
But how do you make sure they're only returning one?
You give everybody, you send one piece of paper with a number that they put in.
Yeah.
Oh,
which
well,
is
that's
kind of what
similar to what we're planning.
Yeah. Where, and then maybe send out an email ahead of time saying, would you rather have, if you're sending out an email, you could say, or getting ready to do our survey, would you like to do it online or have it mailed in? And then you could reduce the number of mail outs that you do if you get people sending it back to you. Because it's not only one side of the cost associated with it, it's also the effort that you guys did
of
compiling it, because all of the answers are calculated.
I gotta say though, having the physical survey, even me who's in here, reminded me to send it in, right? Reminded me to sit down. I don't know if I'd go back in my email and get that email and say, oh yeah, I need to do my survey 3 weeks
later.
Maybe
you had an email that said survey, I deleted it immediately.
You did?
Yes, I did.
The cost would be significant, but like Colleen was saying, do we want to really limit how many people are going to send them back?
It really, if you don't give them the return postage, it significantly reduces the return rate.
I believe
it. Your hand again.
A lot of people don't even have stamps anymore.
Is it up for real?
It is.
Yes, it's up for real. Thank you. So to Tori's point about the physical presence of the survey, I brought that up because when we were taking votes for our union, when we moved from physical paper ballots to electronic voting, we lost about 70% of our voting population by doing that. Just having that physical form there in your face is a reminder to do it. And the other thing, to your question, Jasmine, about any other ideas, you know, I'm wondering about a question about possibly surgical napalm strikes in the valley to eradicate weeds.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll keep working on it, Tori.
I actually bought a battery-operated weed whacker. I'm really getting excited.
I got a
battery-operated
mower.
Oh,
yeah.
I love my battery-operated mower.
And I just thought of one other thing that Colleen had brought up to me, that on that question 17, or I-7, is it important that the survey be anonymous? The plug had decided to end that with "in the future," and I had forgotten to make that addition, so that people wouldn't think there was a chance that this survey might not be done
in
the future. So we do want to make that change in the future.
Sounds good. So do we want a motion and approval of this with all of our additions?
I make a movement that we approve the questionnaire for the general plan as amended.
Second.
Survey.
Survey.
I second. Oh, sorry. Let me stop right in there.
Any further discussion? All in, or sorry, they need a roll vote. Corey Hill.
Aye.
Tamil Gibson.
Aye.
Harry Holler.
Aye.
Bob O'Brien.
Aye.
And aye. Okay, we do not need a closed meeting tonight, so we'll move to item 8, payment of the bills.
I have an addition. I just got another bill from Jones in the mail today for $8,450.
Can we do that next? We don't have it in this budget.
We're going to approve it, but pay it in July.
Yeah, I want to get it approved tonight, and then I'll hold off and pay it in July, but before the next council.
So we can keep rolling because we keep spending for kind of an awkward thing to be doing.
So I move that we pay the bills with the addition that Jocelyn mentioned for DeMille.
Second. Do we need, so what was that for?
$8,450.
Well,
that's
our
balance. We need
to do some
money.
Well, you just said, didn't we just do a transfer into there?
Oh,
no, that went from there. Never mind.
No, that was in the But I will do one because I have to for the end of the month.
Okay. Yeah, that was just more than what.
Good point.
Okay, taking a roll vote. Harry Holland?
Aye.
Bob O'Brien?
Aye.
Pamela Gibson?
Aye.
Troy Hill?
Aye.
And aye.
Jocelyn?
Yeah.
And we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye, Harry.
Bye, Harry.
Bye, Harry.
Recording stopped.